Good morning, Meadows. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come humbly to hear your word this morning. Father, may you be gracious to us and show mercy. Lord, if we have come with a heart that is hardened, or that is shallow, or that is divided, may you break it up. May you do what you need to do to make it good soil, so that we may produce fruit. So, Father, I ask that you, through your power of your Spirit, give us minds to understand, ears to hear, and heart to receive your word this morning. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're back in Matthew, and last week we looked at why Jesus used parables, and now we get to enter into the first parable recorded in the book of Matthew. And so we'll be in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start in verses 1 through 9, and I'm thankful that Jesus is a good teacher. It's like a good teacher, if a teaching a student how to solve a problem, they may put up a problem on the board, walk through that problem, showing their process of how to solve that problem, and then allowing the students to use that method to solve other problems. And so in the same way, Jesus gives a parable, and then he gives us an answer key to the parable. And so it makes my job pretty easy this morning. But we'll see that this parable and the understanding explanation of this parable is going to be the basis of which we are going to understand the other parables. For in the same account, according to Mark, in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus asks his disciples, "Don't you understand this parable?" Referring to the exact same parable that we'll look at in Matthew this morning. He then says, "How then will you understand all of the parables?" Meaning that Jesus is going to show his disciples how to understand and interpret the parables. And so before we move on to any other parables, before we start looking at parables over the next couple weeks, it's important that we understand this parable and how does Jesus interpret this parable. So if you would, join me in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. We're going to read through it and summarize the parable. We're going to just do a recap of why Jesus used this parable, and then we're going to spend the rest of our time in verses 18 through 23 this morning. So I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, Matthew 13, starting verse 1. "On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him in that he got into a boat and sat down while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came out, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen.'" See, Jesus is at it again. He's teaching again. This isn't the first time we see Jesus teaching, but we have experienced that Jesus went all around teaching and performing signs. We spent several months looking at Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. This isn't common, but something switches. He's all of a sudden starting to preach and teach in parables. And so this parable, this first parable that we get, is Jesus is preaching and teaching to the crowds. There's so much there that he gets into a boat and is almost acting as a stage or a platform so that many can hear him. And so then we see this parable. We are introduced to a sower who went out to sow some seed. We see that he threw some seed on some hard ground where birds ate the seed. In verse 5, we see that there's rocky ground and shallow ground that the seed was able to grow up quickly, but then was scorched by the sun. In verse 7, we see there's seed that was thrown on ground of thorns that choked out the seed and could not produce fruit. And then finally, in verse 8, there was good ground, good soil that was able to produce quite a bit of fruit. And then he closes with this in verse 9. If you're reading from the Christian Standard Bible, it says, "Let anyone who has ears listen." If you're using the ESV, it says, "If let anyone who has ears hear." Now, if you have that little notebook that we've handed out a few weeks ago, or if you're taking notes, circle that word "here." It's going to be an important word that we'll address in a little bit. Underline it, mark it, circle it, take note of that. We'll come back to that in a little bit. So he tells this parable. We could see that the crowd's probably confused of what is this parable saying? Why is he telling this? But it's not just the crowd that's confused. It's also the disciples that are confused. And before he explains, we get this interaction that Stuart preached on last week of why does Jesus use parables? And I just want to recap a little bit because it's going to come in importance of how we understand this parable. And so if we look at verses 10 and 11, Jesus and the disciples have this conversation. Then the disciples came up to him and asked, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" He said, "Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has more will be given to him, and he who will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them." This is a threefold reasoning why Jesus uses parables. First, it is to bless those who are in the kingdom of God. Secondly, it is to pronounce judgment of those who are not a part of the kingdom of God. And thirdly, it is to fulfill the prophecy that is spoken by Isaiah. And we've been looking all throughout this book of Matthew that Matthew is proclaiming and making the point that the kingdom of God is here. It is being established, and it is established, and Christ is the King. And we've seen throughout the book of Matthew that there is no neutrality. You cannot be one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. You are either a part of the kingdom or you're not. And so he's using parables to give blessing to those who are part of the kingdom, and to pronounce judgment to those who are not a part of the kingdom, and then finally to fulfill prophecy. So with this, let us now jump into the answer key. Let's go to see how Jesus explains what he has already said. So if you would, let's read 18 through 23 one last time. Jesus says this, "So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root and is short-lived. When distress and persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Remember, I had you circle that word here in verse 9, and within these 6 verses, we see this word repeated several times. Here, 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 here. And so if, as we go through this, as you are marking and taking notes, circle that word. As we see a repeated word such as we do here, it's going to be important. We can make some application at times where we need to go produce, be the sower and spread seed all throughout the world. And we can make a case that, yes, we are called to share the gospel and proclaim the gospel to all nations and all creation. But the point of this parable is not to focus on spreading the seed. The focus of this parable is, how do you hear the word of God, which is the seed being spread? What is the condition of one's heart? How do we receive the seed? But before we jump to application, it can be very easy to read a parable. It can be very easy to read a parable and just jump to application right away. Take, for instance, the parable of the Good Samaritan. You can think of, yep, I heard this parable. We need to help others for those who are in need. And so if we pass someone, we may need to help them. And that may be appropriate application, but may we take some time and understand what's happening and why is Jesus saying this parable? Why is Jesus telling this parable? And if we remember why he uses parables, it's to bless those who are part of the kingdom and to pronounce judgment on those who are not. And so how does this parable then pronounce judgment on those who are not a part of the kingdom? Well, one of the main groups of people that constantly debate or go against Jesus is the Pharisees. If you recall, in the previous chapter of chapter 12, it's a constant debate, it's a constant conversation, an argument between Jesus and the Pharisees. Even if we go back further in the Sermon on the Mount, how often is he pronouncing judgment upon the Pharisees? And so once again, in this crowd, as he's speaking, he is going to pronounce judgment on the Pharisees. How so? Well, let's look at these four soils. There's four soils. There's the hard soil. There's the shallow soil. There's the divided soil. And then there's the good soil. And if we look back at Israel's history, again, Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. He is writing to show this Jewish audience that Christ is the king and he has established his kingdom. And so let's look at this four soils in light of Israel's history. Can we ever recall a time where in Israel's history where the ground was hardened? Where they didn't even desire the things of God, where they didn't desire to obey and follow the law that was given. Maybe in times of judges where they did what was right in their own eyes, that they completely forsake Yahweh, their God, and worshiped Baal. Where they were off the beaten path, they were far from God, there was hard soil. Or how about, was there a time where it was shallow ground? I'm thinking of the time of King Joash, this 7-year-old who became king. And early on in his reign, there was godly influence. And he led well. But soon that godly influence left and evil men started speaking and influencing him. And when they did, Joash caved into their influence. And so there was eagerness at first, but it quickly faded away. How about a time where there was a pledge of allegiance to God, but yet they also served wealth? Maybe thinking in Jesus' time of the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew the law of God. They memorized it. They knew it forwards and backwards and inside out. They knew how many letters and words were in the law. They would write out the law. They knew what the law said. But they also desired wealth of this world. They would praise one another. They would give honor and treasures to one another. They desired things of this world. And there was division. For God says you cannot serve two masters. You either love one or reject the other. But the Pharisees believed that in what they were doing, in trying to be this righteous person, this righteous group of people, would bring in the kingdom of God. That would establish the kingdom of God. But what Jesus is saying, no, you're actually not the good soil. It's not through you that the kingdom of God will be established. In fact, you are actually the soil that is producing thorns. You're the soil that a plant, the seed may start growing, but soon will be choked out because of lust and desires of wealth and things of this world. So you can see how judgment starts to come upon those who are not in the kingdom of God. But then there's this one last soil, the good soil, and we see that Jesus has come to declare and establish his kingdom and declare that he is the king, he is the fulfillment of the promised king always made to David back in the Old Testament. And we see, and Matthew is making the point that it's during this time that there is good soil, that he is spreading the seed, he is spreading the message of the kingdom, he is calling people into the kingdom. If we go back to chapter 9 and verse 7, he said, or verse 37, he says, the harvest is abundant. That between the Christ first coming and as we wait to Christ second coming, we are living in the times where there is good soil. Where there is 30, 60, 100 fold. And we could look at this global perspective and we could look at throughout history of what God is doing. He is doing an incredible work. He is calling people into his kingdom. If you haven't noticed what God is doing globally, look up and see what kind of work is being done in the churches in China and Asian countries. It's exploding. Look at the work that God is doing in the Middle East. It's exploding. The church is growing. He is calling people to become and be part of this kingdom. And we praise God. And we can see that this is where God is going. He is the King. Christ does rule and reign right now. And he is calling people into this kingdom. And as Jesus is speaking, as Jesus is declaring this message, he's reminding his hearers who are part of the kingdom in us today that God is continually at work. He hasn't given up. He hasn't just been sitting on his throne in heaven just hoping and just waiting for the day that he will come back. No, but the work of God is continuing. He's daily calling people into salvation, into the kingdom of God. And we can praise God for what he's doing. And we can anticipate and long and wait for the day where we will continually see 30, 60, and 100-fold. Where we'll continually look out and see masses of people coming into the kingdom of God. This is the work that Jesus is doing. But may we not just look out onto the fields. May we not just look out and see the plentiful harvest and think that we can just sit back and relax and just wait. Yeah, I'm a part of the kingdom. My heart is good soil, and so I can just sit back and wait. But as people of the kingdom, we must be concerned and see the harvest as a whole, but we also must be interested and concerned with the individual seed as well. If we just focus on what God is doing, if we just focus on what God is doing in maybe our city, in our nation, in our world, we can forget about the individual. And we become very lopsided. Because we also need to ask the question, what is my heart condition? What kind of soil is my heart when I read and hear the kingdom of God? And I hope and pray that we don't become this lopsided Christians. But we see the harvest as a whole, but we also see the individual. And we are concerned with the individual. And vice versa, I hope that we don't just be so concerned with the individual that we forget what God's doing. Where we are going, we are heading to a place He is continuing to harvest and grow and be fruitful and call people into the kingdom of God. And so we need to have both perspectives on the whole field, but also the individual. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 19, Paul writes this, "Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed the message of reconciliation to us." God has already reconciled this world. He has already redeemed this world through the work of Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection. And so Christ is not campaigning to become king. Christ isn't trying to establish His kingdom. No, He has established His kingdom. He is king. And so as we plead with people and we are concerned with the individuals, we're pleading to be reconciled to Christ. We're pleading to join in the kingdom of God that has already been established, that He is already ruling and reigning currently. And so we then can go and proclaim the good news of the gospel while we focus on the whole harvest, as we see the whole field and the work that God is doing, but we also need to realize that it's also an individual choice. We need to be concerned with individuals as well. And so we live in this dichotomy. We rejoice and we long for the day that we will see 100-fold. We'll see masses of individuals coming into the kingdom of God. But we also must ask ourselves and not grow lazy, just waiting for the day that that would be true. But we must continually ask ourselves, what kind of soil is my heart? As we look at our time and we see the wonderful work that God is doing around the world, may we rejoice and yearn for that time. But may we not grow comfy and may we not be relaxed, but continually ask, where do I stand? When I hear the word of the kingdom, what kind of soil is my heart? And so I ask this morning, what soil is your heart? When you hear the word of the kingdom, and this word of the kingdom found in verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word about the kingdom, it's not talking about some deep theological issues. It's not talking about some Christian counsel that you may receive. It's talking about the gospel. The proclamation that the kingdom of heaven is near, and so repent and believe. We see in Acts 2, Peter stands up before crowds and proclaims the kingdom of heaven and the message of heaven. And what do we see? We see thousands come to believe and be baptized. We see in Scripture, we can look all throughout history of revivals and great awakenings, of God's work at hand as He continually calls people into the kingdom. Because we are living in a time where there is good soil. And I know we can look at our culture today, we can see the direction that our culture is going this morning, and we could be really, we are living in good soil. But if we look back in the last maybe 5 years and we just look at a small pocket of what's happening here in Chicago, it may be hard to see that we are living in a times of good soil. But as we zoom out, see what God's doing over the last 50 years, 100 years, 500 years. How much further advanced we are. How much more has the gospel have continued to go forth? How much progress has been made of Bible translations? As we not just focus on the states, but as we look at what God's doing globally, we can see God continually growing and calling people into His kingdom. Because we are living in land and time of good soil. So again, the question is, where do you stand in this good soil? We have four types of soil. First is the hard soil. Is your heart hard soil? Found in verse 19. Jesus says this, when anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is the one sown along the path. Maybe you're here this morning in this seed. You hear the gospel presentation. You hear the kingdom message. And the seed just sits on the surface of your heart, just ready to be plucked by a devil bird. And it snatches, and there is no fruit. Maybe you're young and you're forced to come here because your parents drag you here, and you can't wait till you're out of the house, and so you don't want anything to do with church or with God. This is the person that Proverbs 1:7 describes as a fool who hates wisdom and instructions and says there is no God. This person has a heart who thinks that the gospel is foolish, who resists the gospel, who has no remorse over sin, no guilt or conviction over sin, has no desire to do anything good or pure. This is a person who has a hard heart. So that's one condition. I pray, if that's your heart this morning, know that I've been praying that God would tear it up, that He would take that hardness and soften it, and that you would receive the good news of the gospel, that you would come into the kingdom of God. The second type of soil is the shallow soil, found in verse 20. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root and is short-lived. When distress and persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. This is someone who hears the word. He hears the word of the kingdom and is full of emotion. There's excitement. There's joy. Their motivation is based on emotion. And they may come and they may be active in serving in church and attending services and Bible study, but it's merely temporary. That emotion fades. Maybe it's because of the music or they heard a powerful sermon. But that emotion fades, and in reality, there is no repentance. There is no remorse over sin. There's no brokenness or humility. And when persecution comes, maybe from friends or family or coworkers, they fall away. For the seed, it's so shallow that the only place that seed could grow is up, and there is no way that seed could take root in the ground. It's like a football player who desires to be on a team. He wears the gear and puts on the jersey. He attends the prep rallies. He sits on the sidelines cheering on the other players. He memorizes the plays, but then as soon as the coach puts him in, he starts sprinting to the locker rooms. This is the person who feels the pressure and shrinks back and becomes ashamed of the gospel. And they do not produce any fruit. The third soil is the divided soil. Found in verse 22. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This may be someone who's grown up in church, went through Awana, gone through the youth group, memorized scripture, knows the Bible, can recite Bible stories. But their lust over this world, they desire things of this world. They're divided and they will be choked out. Paul says the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Or hear John's warning that says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but of this world. This person is choked out by things of this world. And once again, it is unfruitful. And so we have these three soils. And how do we know what soil we have in our heart? It's through observation, it's through what kind of fruit are we producing, or more so, what lack of fruit are we producing? The first hard soil the seed doesn't even start to grow. It just is picked off from the surface of the earth. The second seed, the shallow ground, it starts to grow, sprouts out just barely, but then is quickly shriveled. The third, in the divided soil, it starts to grow. It may grow fairly big, but it's choked out. It never produces any fruit. But then there's this fourth soil, the good soil, found in verse 23. But the one sown on the good ground, this is one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what is sown. This is the person who is convicted by their sin, who sees the reality and the need that they have a need for the Savior. They repent and believe in the Lord Jesus and the work that He has done on the cross and His death, burial, and resurrection. The seed has been planted. It's been buried and started to take root and grow. And this, as it grows, it produces fruit. And the fruit points back to the evidence of their faith. of who they believe in. It points back that they are children and members of the kingdom of God. And so what are some of these fruits? Well, Paul in Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm thinking even now as my family, we've been doing family worship and we just started in Psalm 1 last night. And in Psalm chapter 1, we see again the fruit. Psalm 1 says this: how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Is there fruit in your life? Is there evidence in your life as the seed of the kingdom is planted, that there's this fruit coming from your life? So I ask the question this morning, what soil is your heart? Is it hard? Does it reject God and His Word? Is it shallow, that's just rising on emotion? Is it divided, where you have one foot in the kingdom, you know a lot about the Word, and you may grow up in the church, but ultimately your desires lie with things of this world? Or is it good soil? I do want to put this out as well. It's important. I know there's many of you who have been faithful. There's many of you sitting in the pews this morning that have good soil. And the evidence is over a lifetime. And there's times where we may come into church and feels like we have a hard heart. There's something that's going on in our lives. And we're working through, we're frustrated with, or even as Marcia said, she woke up yesterday morning being angry and not wanting to prepare. Note those days come. But if that's not the norm, if that's not the daily occurrence, every time you hear the word, if that's not what's happening, don't just take one day, one moment, and think that you have hard soil or divided soil or shallow soil. But look at what's God been doing over the course of your life. Has God continued to soften your heart, to soften the soil of your heart? Have you seen evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? Can you look back and see, yeah, there was a time where I did not experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And now you see those evidence of how you're experiencing and seeing the love in your life, joy in your life, peace in your life, patience in your life, kindness in your life, goodness in your life, faithfulness in your life, gentleness, self-control in your life. Because if we plant a seed, it doesn't just sprout up in one day. It takes time to cultivate, to produce that fruit. And so take encouragement. Yes, we will have days where we may not feel motivated, or we feel distant, or we feel in a desolate place. But take encouragement and look at what God has been doing over the course of your life. And so we see from this parable that God is doing a work. And may we see the work that God is doing globally and throughout history. And we anticipate that we are coming to a day where many more will come into the kingdom, that hundredfold will be produced, and that we will celebrate and we will rejoice and worship our King who has established His kingdom. And He has established Himself as King. And we long for the day where there will be many more coming in to be a part of the kingdom, worshiping our great God. But may we also be concerned with the individual. May we also be concerned with our hearts. What kind of soil is our heart producing to allow the seed to produce fruit in our lives? So, may we rejoice in the work that God is doing. May we also examine our own hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy. It is only because of Jesus Christ that we are able to have good soil. It's because of Jesus Christ who has come and spread the seed across all this world and even in our lives. It's because of Your grace and Your mercy that we can produce the fruit and bear good fruit. So, Father, may we be like the tree planted by a flowing stream who produces fruit in its season and its leaves did not wither, and everything He does, He prospers. Father, help us not to have hardened hearts. May our hearts not be shallow, be motivated by emotion. May our hearts not be divided by things of this world. But may our hearts be good soil. May we continue to see that we are living in a time of good soil, that the harvest is plentiful. And You are continuing to do a great and mighty work. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and respond in song.